Are we on?
Bob, do we have okie dokie. Welcome to the November 3rd post-election party. post-election day. I was driving in. It occurred to me it's a little like Christmas. I hope you got what you wanted yesterday.
Oh, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, commission what you wish for. For me, it was a decidedly mixed bag. But you know, it's all right. Congratulations to those colleagues who were reelected to continue service, and we'll move on. We'll go ahead and start today's meeting with a roll call, please.
President O'Malley, Vice President Gibson.
Here.
Board Member Asajian.
Here.
Board Member Hill.
Here.
Board Member Marks.
Here.
Board Member Meacham.
Here.
Board Member Patterson. Board Member Peters.
Here.
Board Member Reese. Board Member Strong.
Here.
Board Member Ferrara.
Here.
Board Member Schultz.
Here.
Thank you. And for colleagues' information, your monitors, if you care to watch the replay of the fifth game of the World Series, the button to turn your monitors on is on the bottom of the frame to the left. Just to the other left, Adam. Thank you. Good.
Tell me for me.
Oh, who's so, that? Yeah. So there's several channels there that you can entertain yourself with. We'll move now to public comment items not on the agenda. Mr. Greening?
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening. The morning after the night before, I was wondering if election night would be even scarier than Halloween. And as with Bruce, I feel we have a mixed bag here. But certainly from the transportation and transit point of view, the passage of Prop 22 is good news just in terms of giving public transit and transportation in general some security from being raided by those people in Sacramento. And I'd like to give congratulations to someone who's about to be one of those people in Sacramento.
Thank you.
To forget where he came from, right?
It's a six-month break period.
And I'd like to give congratulations to two other board members who are not only were successful in being elected or reelected, but are actually here this morning, and of course then two other board members who are probably still celebrating or whatever. Couple of points I want to hit here. One is, what is the protocol when a bus breaks down and eventually is fixed, towed away, is able to move on or whatever, but there is a conspicuous patch of oil left on the road? It would seem to me that it's someone's responsibility to clean that up. I'm not sure whether it should be the driver's responsibility. The drivers have just signed a contract that will keep them at substandard pay for some time. But obviously, I won't second-guess their decision. They did what they thought was best, but I'm not sure I want to load extra tasks on them of toxic waste cleanup crew, but definitely leaving messes behind should not be anyone's policy, even a transit agency's. So when a breakdown results in a mess in the street, I hope someone will be responsible for cleaning it up. One other thing I'd like to just deal with publicly so it can be dealt with in publicly. The northbound Route 9 buses, after they make the stop at Capistrano, the so-called City Hall stop, actually continue north all the way to San Anselmo before they get on the freeway. And some drivers simply say, last Atascadero stop before City Hall. But my understanding is they can do drop-offs at the North County shuttle stops as far north as San Jacinto. And when we're getting into rainy days or people who move slower, that can make a big difference, that extra mile or so that they can do drop-offs on the northbound just in terms of people getting home. It will be dark when a lot of people are getting home. And so I'm hoping we can have a clear policy that those drop-offs actually do exist and that the drivers all know that they can honor them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. No other requests to speak. We'll close the public comment and move on to our information agenda, the Executive Director's Report. And I wonder if you might tag on comments to Mr. Greening's questions.
Certainly. Good morning, Vice President Gibson, members of the board, and our congratulations to those of you who successfully ran, and our well wishes to those who are leaving us, and it's been great to work with you, and we appreciate your support and all that you've done to support the regional transportation program here in the county. Just to address Mr. Greening's two issues, one is on a breakdown where a vehicle has some type of a spill. Our maintenance department is equipped with the appropriate things to clean up those spills, and if it's something more than that we cannot handle, then we have a subcontractor that we call out to the site to address that. And then secondly, the issue of the Route 9 northbound vehicles service north of Tascadero City Hall to stop at Capistrano. We did, Sir Greening did bring up that issue at our RTAC meeting, and we have addressed it with our operations folks. So all of our, there's an operations bulletin been posted, and all of our operations staff and our bus operators have been instructed that not to use that. As you know, we were required by ADA regulations to announce all the stops. So for now, they'll simply announce the City Hall stop and allow people to deboard or alight at those stops on the North County Shuttle. So with that, let me get into some of the highlights of this month's report. Happy to report that our two new buses are in. I think we may have a picture of one of those for you, and we actually will have one here out in front of the government center for anybody that wants to take a look at it. They have been out in revenue service for the last couple of weeks. So it'll be out in front. If anybody wants to take a ride on it, we're happy to do that. Want to thank the Caltrans district office here, especially Cindy Utter for her support in helping us get this grant turned around. This was the funding that we had dedicated for the hybrid program, and it was quite a task to get this turned around. And we also like to thank the staff at SLOCOG as well as the staff at CTC for their assistance and on helping us get this through the CTC last fall. Secondly, we have a full report on the our partnership with Monterey Salinas Transit, so I'll get into that one on the next agenda item. We had a very successful kickoff meeting with the folks from Route Match. It's our new vendor for our paratransit scheduling and dial-a-ride scheduling system, and we'll be working very closely with them over the next few months to implement that program and install that software, and it will help us be more efficient in our scheduling of our runabout service. The stops, the consolidation of the stops at Cuesta has been working very well, and as you'll hear in a few minutes, our ridership is significantly up on the Route 12 as well as the other routes in the system. We were successful in negotiating a bit of an increase with the administrative staff at Cuesta for our annual subsidy, and Amy has been successful in securing the some advertising from the marketing folks there, so just kind of a win-win situation for us all around. Speaking of marketing, we have a couple of slides for you on this is actually, I think, a maintenance slide. This is our new paint and body. This was part of our rideshare, October rideshare kickoff with the folks at SLOCOG and the October festivities, and we had a class from one of the elementary schools come in and paint the sides of some of our vehicles. We have, Amy's done a fabulous job of retaining six interns this quarter, so she has a whole marketing and community relations department as well as kind of a planning department under her auspices currently. So they've been doing some great work. This is one of the outcomes of that work. These are some new format for our schedules and for customer information that are going to go on our buses and at our bus stops. So some great work there being done by Amy and her intern group. We've also been successful in filling the rest of our advertising on the side of our buses, so that will help our bottom line. And then we are very pleased to announce the addition of five new bus operators that came into the organization back on October 14th. They are Daniel De La Vega, Paul Willard, James Honto, Gary Hallberg, and William Perry. So we want to welcome those folks to the family. And then finally, let me jump into some data. We are very happy to report that the first quarter of the fiscal year looks very favorable. We're at 21, just over 21% of budget overall, and about 19% on the operating side. As you can see, the September variance on the administrative side is just over $6,500 for the month, and on the operations maintenance side, it's $3,400 for the month. And the prior 2 months were just as favorable, some a little bit better. A word of caution, that this doesn't include our revenue side. We have a couple of issues we're going to have to wrestle with this year. One is the shortfall in STA funding. We had programmed a little bit more than what we got on the operator side from the state. And then we also have a couple of other items on the expense side, one being obviously the increase in the health insurance premiums, and we have addressed those in the operating program, but we also have our TDA audit that we'll be responsible for this year, and that's coming in at about $15,000. So far, so good. Great news on the financial side. We do have to address a couple of items under, and I'll get into more of the detail on these in the action item for today's meeting on the service improvement program, but we were advised in a meeting with SLOCOG staff last week that the two dial-a-ride systems now have gone 3 years without meeting the mandated fare box recovery ratio. And I have a clarification on the preliminary financial penalty is more in the neighborhood of $7,200, not $16,000. So it's a little bit better, but not great news. So we'll have to come up with some solutions for addressing our dial-a-ride productivity. And then on the ridership side and the KPIs, more good news. Our September ridership especially was up 17% compared to last year, and we actually had the third highest month of ridership ever in the history of the organization, almost 54,000 trips. And then we've also provided to you at your places this morning the September update on our route productivity report. Just want to point out a couple of things. One is that our revenue for the month of September was $90,000. So as you can see, between the ridership increase and the revenue increase, revenue was, I think, an all-time high for a month here. So some of the programs that you have supported over the year that we've implemented, one is the, you know, some of the regional pass programs and the day pass, those prepaid fares, we're selling a great deal of those. And the second is we had a fare increase in August, and typically you see a decline in ridership when you have a fare increase. We've had the opposite effect. So two great pieces of information. And then for September, our fare box recovery ratio for fixed route was almost 29%, and that's absolutely an all-time high. So great news on those productivity numbers. And again, just, you know, looking very, very good through the end of September, through the first quarter of the fiscal year. Just a couple of real quick notes on holiday service hours as they're right around the corner. Typically on New Year's Eve, we reduce service in the evening, and we're going to do that again. That allows our employees to be able to spend some time with their families and earlier. So the last trip leaving the government center will be at 5:33. And same thing on, well, actually the day after Thanksgiving. This year we're going to run a Saturday schedule rather than a Friday schedule. That information has been posted in our vehicles. And then last month, or actually the last RTA board meeting in September, we had some public comment, some public feedback on posting our meetings on the vehicles, and we have done that, so you will see information for our meetings for the next several months up on the vehicles That includes our RTA board meetings, executive committee meetings, RTAC meetings, and then the South County Area Transit meetings as well. So with that, I will close my report and be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. King. Questions for Mr. King? To my right, none. Ms. Martin?
Yeah, that penalty that the Dial Ride will have to pay, where does that money go? Is that?
It goes back into the
California? Or?
No, it goes back into the TDA fund.
Oh.
Trust fund.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I don't know. We'll have to see the clerk. The clerk of the board is gonna have some words, I'm sure.
Let me get a picture.
Destruction of county property. I wanted to just bring up one thing in the first page of the staff report on the director's report.
Got to hear my marks behind.
There's a reference to Morro Bay's request for proposals and the response of RTA. And I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to talk either to Mr. King or Ms. Peters. It's really a subset of our board interested in this. But I was curious and hopeful that we might have a chance to chat, Ms. Peters, a little bit about the situation there as it relates to the work of the Efficiencies Committee. We've been working on trying to integrate an Estero Bay sub-regional with Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride, South Bay Dial-A-Ride and Cayucas, and I'm wondering whether there's any, what the time flexibility on this might be to sort of revisit that before Morro Bay moves forward.
We can certainly talk about it. The reason that we had to take a step was because we had to start providing service as of the beginning of our fiscal year, and we could no longer do the Dial-A-Ride. So we had to move ahead with a plan, and okay. That's what we haven't implemented.
Okay.
But yes, we can certainly.
Okay. And has action been taken on this at this point? It looked like it was a contract going to, a recommendation going to MV.
With MV.
And have you taken action on that?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, maybe we could talk, hopefully before you do, if we could convene a meeting of that sub-regional committee just to see how it fits with some of the goals we'd set. I'd appreciate it. Okay. With that, and seeing no further questions for Mr. King, we'll move on to the action agenda, item B1, RTA Service Improvement Program.
Thank you, Vice President Gibson, members of the board. The real emphasis on our service improvement program for the next couple of years is right here. It's really, these are the major core objectives of our program, and I won't read these all to you. I think they're very straightforward and self-explanatory. We've been preaching these for a number of months now, and we've been very successful at doing a lot of these things already with your support and the great work that the staff's been doing. So we really are looking at some opportunities then moving forward with implementation dates and approximate daily service hours based in the report, the recommendations in the report. So once we have your concurrence today, the staff will go out and hold a series of public workshops throughout the county to get public feedback and customer feedback on these recommendations. And then from there, we'll come back to you in May with our annual operating program and get your concurrence on moving forward to implement these, because obviously we need the financial piece in place in order to accomplish some of these. And really, the emphasis, again, is on sustaining our core services that we have out in the street today. Some of these things that are listed here would require financial resources that we just don't have the wherewithal right now to accomplish. But in a perfect world, this is what we'd like to see on a short-term basis. So let me jump right into the recommendations. I'll start up in North County, which is kind of a little bit opposite of how the staff report lays out. But in a couple of minutes, I'll describe our efforts with Monterey Salinas Transit on the Paso Robles Fort Hunter Liggett service that we're going to actually implement in December of this year. will be a subcontractor to that service through MST. There's just a typo in the next line. It's actually extend to southbound morning trips and to northbound afternoon trips to Cuesta College, and this is something that came up in the short-range transit plan recommendations on direct service for the students and staff that work at Cuesta, the Cuesta campus here in San Luis. The next is the funding that we mentioned to you last month is implementing our North Coast Connector, and that is through the JARC program, the Job Access Reverse Commute Program. Will be funded through that. It is a little bit different service, as it will provide service up through from here in town up through North County, and then we'll do something a little bit different with the service in the midday by operating what we call a service route and similar to a demand response service. So we'll get into the details of that when we get closer to the implementation. Again, we have a placeholder here for the Estero Bay Circulator Service. This is replacing the South Bay Dial-A-Ride service and placing a smaller vehicle within Los Osos as a circulator that would take the place of our Route 12 and making convenient connections in Morro Bay with our Route 12. And then we have a proposal for service over Los Osos Valley Road into South San Luis Obispo. We've had a number of requests from the residents in Los Osos, Morro Bay, from LOCAC and from the LOCAC Transportation Committee for more RTA service from that community to this part of San Luis Obispo out on the south end of town. Total daily service hours is just under 26. And then let me jump into South County recommendations, the Route 10. We want to make sure that, and this is with all of our service, that we make convenient connections with all of our partners. So these are focused on Santa Maria Area Transit and South County Area Transit, just some scheduling, fine-tuning. Again, extending to northbound morning trips and southbound evening trips to Cuesta College. And then we'd like to evaluate the Price Canyon Road Corridor for service in, through the airport and then into town. So those total service hours are just under 7. Estimated annual costs for these improvements would be $632,000. And those are in 2011 dollars. They're not inflated at all, so we'll come back with an adjustment in that. More on a long-range program, first and foremost, we want to make sure we work with our partners on seamless connectivity here in the region. So, and especially here in town with the folks in the city and slow transit. So those are planning and scheduling efforts, and we actually have started that process already. The next is the Napomo Dial-A-Ride. It's another one of the Dial-A-Ride systems that we need to address, and we are going to meet with the stakeholders in Napomo to work with them on trying to provide an efficient and effective type of service in Napomo that would substitute for the Dial-A-Ride system. We're still talking about efficiencies and looking at areas where we can improve our runabout service, and we mentioned the route match scheduling software that will help, but we're also looking at more efficiencies, so we'll take a closer look at the weekend scheduling and weekend operation of runabout. We have some additional express trips on the Route 9 and 10 we'd like to implement, and that's the biggest piece of this program. For obvious reasons, we have a number of standees on those express runs now, and you can see our ridership's up significantly, so we think more buses will bring more customers. And then we're going to evaluate express service from Paso Robles to Camp Roberts. We've actually reached out to some of the folks there already and are waiting to hear back from them on that. So we had a good discussion at RTAC last week about the program. Unfortunately, we did not have a full complement of RTAC members to have a quorum. So there was a general consensus to support holding the public workshop as outlined in the plan. So the staff recommendation is to authorize the executive director to schedule a series of public workshops to obtain stakeholder feedback on the service improvement program and to bring the recommendations back to you in a presentation on May 4th at our board meeting. So with that, I'll conclude my remarks and open it up for questions.
Questions for Mr. King to my left, seeing none to my right. Seeing none, we do have a couple requests to speak. John Webster and Eric Greening.
John Webster, City of San Luis Obispo Transit Manager. I'm a member of ARCTAC, and again, I pointed out that Ed said there wasn't a quorum, but I think it's important to the discussion that on page B13 that the estimate is around $632,000, and this would represent new funding. And there hasn't been anything to set the stage to go to public process yet because you haven't identified any new funding. The latest word from the SLOCOG is that the Transit and Development Act, the money is down about 15%, which if that trend continues, there's not enough backfill that was done at the board level last year to enable just the funding that was estimated in June of this year for all of the member cities, and including the city of San Luis Obispo. That $632,000 represent about $114,000 being paid by the city. Our city and Slo Transit did our own short-range transit plan. It was approved by Mayor and Council in May of 2009 that has a lot of improved recommendations for improving our own service. We're constrained by our lack of funding. One of those recommendations is for a cross-town bus ride, which would in effect run along LOVR to Higuera Street. We're unable to implement it simply because we haven't identified any funding that will allow that improvement. Our thing is like RTA, sustaining the core services. So I think if anything, in coupled with C4, where you have a new labor contract that doesn't have any fiscal impact report as well, what will that add to that $632,000 of additional service? I think this should be put back until at least staff can identify where is the money going to come from. There is an impact on all the member cities through the JPA agreement of having a shared responsibility to off-the-top funding. And this $114,000 to our operation would be a huge hit just for allowing us to maintain our core services. I think those two trips on LOVR from Los Osos, I recommended at ARTAC that we could establish a transfer point at Foothill and LOVR. We would look to either take our existing Route 5 or Route 4 and do some of possibly go over into the suburban area, Figueroa Street, where this, where the people in Los Osos want to go. We could probably do that with our existing, or we could look to implement a limited cross-town service for two trips in the morning and two trips in the afternoon. But you don't want to establish duplication of service. The service efficiencies does, we already have four buses an hour running on that section of the LOVR. Do you really want to put a fifth bus from another agency when we already have services within the city can do that already efficiently? I think just coordinating, making that transfer point, and connecting to a bus that will get them to finish where they want to go out in the suburban and the Gary area. So again, I'm asking that this board really direct staff to, put the funding plan as part of that before you go through the public process, because if you can't get it funded, then you're just going through an exercise of getting public feedback. By the time, we haven't done it on our end, because if we go through the public process without the funding, the information becomes stale. It could be 2 years after that, and we'd have to go through the public process again because things might have changed.
Mr. Webster,
another impact on that would be, again, is to consider the impact of the member cities on this, and at a time where there's, at least for the immediate future, there isn't any additional funding going to come.
Mr. Webster, ask you a question from Mr. Hill here.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Webster. I just want to be clear so I'm getting what you're saying. Slo Transit doesn't currently service LOVR all the way out to Los Osos in the way that the RTA does, correct?
No, we do not. We go as far as Foothill and LOVR, and then we come in. We come out by Foothill onto LOVR and go by LOVR back in the opposite direction.
So are you suggesting that a better way to go about it would be to let Slo Transit service all the way out out of its service area into the unincorporated part of the county?
No. I would think RTA would service to the juncture of LOVR and Foothill, create a transfer point with a some passenger amenities, a shelter, some benches. And when our buses, Route 5, is coming in from Foothill, taking a left on LOVR, that we would pick up the transfers at that point and then maybe continue our route off that short half-a-mile section from where we go at Curry Ford, Auto Way, until Suburban, and turn around and come back on and go in by Venana.
But if the RTA buses are already going by there, what's the issue of them picking up? I mean, isn't the main thing that the bus riders get more service? I mean, isn't that...
Well, they don't go beyond Foothill right now. Yeah. They come in and they go to Foothill. Again, we already have 4 buses an hour in that exact point. We run service along LOVR, and so again, it becomes duplication of service. I remember that when RTA was servicing Grand Ave and Arroyo Grande, they removed it from Grand Ave because they didn't want to be in competition, so to speak, and offer duplication of service with SCAP. Well, the same would apply here. Why do you want to put a bus that's already being serviced along that corridor when we can extend our own service and just create a transfer point? It's going to be less expensive for them to turn around at LOVR and go back to Los Osos.
I'd be happy to hear Mr. King when the time is.
Okay, we'll get comments, yeah. And we have one other public comment. Any other questions of Mr. Webster at this point? Thank you. And Mr. Greening?
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I would certainly like to thank Mr. Webster for all the information he was sharing as we strategized at RTAC. I guess it was a short of a quorum non-meeting, so you'll probably never see any actual minutes, although you may see some notes eventually. This whole idea of efficiencies in terms of duplication of service on all 3 lines, we were kind of brainstorming possibilities of connecting the 9 with the 4 and 5 relative to Cal Poly people, and of course then the 10 with the 2, the problem being that the 2 is on 40-minute headways, which doesn't integrate well with hourly headways unless there's a change in their system. Anyway, a lot of good brainstorming with Mr. Webster, but I do agree with him exactly the words that I hope are the primary focus here, top of B1-2, sustaining core services. First and foremost, our service plan for the next 12 months will be to sustain our core service structure. This includes maintaining the span of service, start of morning peak service through the last evening trips, frequency hourly, etc. That's critical. To hang on to what we have through the various storms that are blowing our way. That's our number one mission and our number one commitment. I think the ridership, the building up of the ridership, will continue as long as the service that we have can be counted on. If it were to start being chipped away at, then the faith in that mode of transportation would evaporate. But I think there are some real possibilities. Certainly the Route 9, I kind of question the figure that only 25% of the people on the Route 9 use Cal Poly. Certainly those morning and afternoon expresses, when I ride those, it seems like at least half the people are getting off or getting on at the 2 Cal Poly stops. But there should be an opportunity, if and when we have the funding for new expresses, to take one of them straight downtown and not take those people through Cal Poly. There are 12 stop signs and 21 crosswalks on the Route 9 route through Cal Poly right now, so it is something of a diversion. But it's also very important. It certainly adds to the productivity of the line. If and when there's extra capacity and a guaranteed connection with the Route 4 and 5, that might be a way that the Route 9 could avoid going there, and still the people with the Cal Poly connections can travel free on the San Luis Obispo buses, but I don't think we're there yet. Anyway, a lot of strategizing yet to do, but I think the most important thing is whatever else can be added, sustain the core services. That's a promise that needs to be kept with the people. If we mean what we say about transit-oriented planning, that's the core of the core. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. And I realize, as you talk, if Google Transit goes down, I think we're just going to give you a call, and you can absolutely patch somebody from any point in this county to any other, fares, timing, and everything.
Like movie phone.
Yeah. With that, we'll close it to the public and bring it back for some comments. Mr. King, or questions, Ms. Marks, you want to make them? I just wanted to, in responding to Mr. Webster's comments, there seem to be two issues here. One was the question of, have we lined up funding? What do we do about public process and funding? The second, which goes on into Mr. Greening's comments as well, is, you know, what efficiencies have we pondered? And so your response on those two sort of connected but different ones, and then I've got a request on another item that I'll bring up after you've responded.
As part of the board-authorized productivity report that we bring to you on a quarterly basis, we're always looking at efficiency. So if we can improve service on a corridor where we have some unproductive service on that same line or on another line, we're going to take advantage of those efficiencies. Obviously, we preface this report by saying that this funding is not available right now, and should it become available, we'll implement as many of these things as we possibly can. And part of that process is going to be a debate on prioritizing those. The other comment that I have is for RTA to provide a service that Mr. Webster mentioned in dropping commuters off at a remote place on Los Osos Valley Road and Foothill to us is a disservice to our regional customers. It's like asking people that ride our Route 9 or Route 12 now or Route 10 to get off at the city limit and transfer to a city bus to get down to their destination where they're going to commute. So I don't believe we would support that type of recommendation. However, we certainly respect and appreciate what the city's doing, and we understand they had their short-range transit plan conducted, and there's some great ideas in there, and we're working through some of the efficiencies, and providing more service in a corridor means more customers, whether it's four buses an hour or seven. We think this is better service for all customers, whether you're here in the city or you live in Los Osos and you're trying to get to your job here in the city. So our recommendation would be to evaluate this and get feedback on it. And obviously, these will all come back to RTAC for their final blessing before it comes back to you. And as Mr. Greening pointed out, we've had some really good debate on regional efficiencies, and I don't believe that providing service over that corridor and dropping people off at a remote bus stop on Foothill and then asking them to transfer to another service would be good customer quality service, and that's one of our goals in getting commuters here into town, or whether it's here into town or into Santa Maria or Paso Robles or Atascadero or any of the other communities that we serve.
As I understood it, one of the prompt of this was actually express service. So if Los Osos is a bedroom community trying to get to the transit center. And
yes.
Along those lines, I'm wondering, have we develop the ability to collect data about individual trips? I mean, who starts where and who gets off where? We have that in the mix of how we make these choices.
Yes, we do. We have it from the short-range transit plan, and we also collect it through our electronic fare collection system. And this is express service in the commute times for people to get to their jobs here in town. That's the market we're trying to serve. We're not trying to serve customers along that corridor that want to take slow transit service. Our market is the regional service that provides customers in our communities to get to where they need to be as quickly as they can. And I think, as Mr. Greening mentioned, the number of bus stops and stop signs in Cal Poly, obviously, to me, if I were living in Los Osos or in Morro Bay and I had an opportunity to take a 20-minute ride into town versus a 35-minute ride, I would certainly go for the 20-minute ride over LOVR instead of going through Cuesta and Cal Poly.
Ms. Marsh? And Mr. Schultz?
Yes, well, I just wanted to say that what we're talking about is the planning stage, okay? And I really want to see these two agencies, RTA and Slow Transit, plan a good plan that will work together. We're in the planning stage. We do not need to plan in some kind of a conflict, and it looks to me like that's what we're doing. The Central Committee, Efficiencies Committee, I serve on that. It hasn't met yet, periodically I ask, when are we going to meet? So we haven't started, although perhaps that started on the staff level, I haven't heard about it. The way that it would work, if we look at the $632,000, is that RTA would just take it off the top, and that would represent a loss of approximately $118,000 to the city system in order to provide service on LOVR, which we are doing anyway. Now, I'm not saying I have the solution for all this, but inherent in the financial system is this this tension that's been there all along. And I question whether RTA should be doing long-range planning like this and just riding roughshod over any of the member jurisdictions. So I think that we would need to look at this further. I would like to see this worked out on the planning level rather than just proceeding on a collision course and having the same conversation over and over again. So I think it's premature to for RTA to say this is how we're going to do it. The idea of a bus stop at LOVR and Foothill, I'm not sure exactly how that worked. There might be other alternatives as well. But at this point, it looks like RTA would be establishing a duplication of service rather than avoiding that, which is theoretically our policy. And I just want to make sure that that doesn't happen. I think we can have this worked out on the staff level. So that's my comment.
Mr. Schultz?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Gibson. And I appreciate the comments by Mayor-elect Marks. And I agree, we don't want to duplicate service. However, I think there is a couple of fundamental differences, and I know we can hopefully work this out. John talked about the elimination of duplication in South County, taking RTA off of Grand Avenue and keeping it on 101. Clearly, 101 is the more direct and efficient route, so it made sense there. The difference here, I believe, though, is Los Osos Valley Road is the more direct route to Los Osos rather than going through San Luis and Highway 1. So there is a distinct difference if we're going to provide that service. So it's maybe very difficult to avoid some duplication there. I just can't see a transfer point at Foothill and Los Osos Valley Road right now because really what's out there? What happens to the poor individual who misses the transfer? So that's something that can be worked out. But I think the two are there's some slight differences there. I didn't weigh in on the Morro Bay, and I'm glad you have asked for a meeting because we've talked about efficiencies, and there was a real opportunity for some efficiencies that we may have missed. And as we all know, every year we come back and RTA and the COG makes the city of Morro Bay whole because they are using all their TDA funds for transit. However, we've got to find a better way to be more efficient because that does have financial and budget implications on all of us. So I'm hoping there is still an opportunity to do that. Let me talk about the issue of funding because this is a short-range transit plan and it looks like it's actually going to be phased in. So when we look at this number of 632, it's not something that starts next year because when you look at serving the airport, he's talking about a timeline of doing this in 2013. I can look at the Los Osos Valley road services is 2012. So this will be funded in. There will be opportunities to do this through a budgetary process. And so I'm not as concerned about them showing a number here. It just kind of gives us a crystal ball that we can work with. That's what budgets are all about, their projections. So I think I'm really happy to see that we're maintaining core service, but you're also talking about enhancements to provide service where there is demand. And I like the fact that trying to add an express route to Cuesta. My question might be there is, did we look at Cal Poly, because I think there are not just students, but there are workers there that may benefit from something of that nature as well. But I'm encouraged that we've been able to sustain service and add express routes to have service that meets demand. So I'd say to staff, a good job in bringing forward some short-term planning, some long-term planning, And I'm anxious to see how we can implement this so that it does not become stale. I think it's very useful as an opportunity to get more riders on the buses. So.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Mayor Scholes. I think that exactly right, which is that this is this is a plan and to enhance service, and it's obviously all our plans are always contingent on funding. But you know, on this particular issue of Los Osos Valley Road, I mean, the choice is to bring the residents into the city, where obviously a lot of them work, especially in the southern part of the city where this would be serviced, and enhancing that service corridor, or just stopping at that, you know, that city-county line, I guess, and abandoning the riders, perhaps to the Duval Ranch, I don't know. rather than just bringing them to work, or whatever else they're doing in the city, it doesn't seem like a duplication of service. It seems like it actually seems like something that's going to serve the passengers well. And of course, it's as pointed out by Mayor Scholes, it's part of a plan contingent on funding and more discussions and cooperation, certainly. But I'm worried that it seems like more of a turf war than really our main goal here, which is service for our customers. Period.
Bruce? Yeah. I just wanted to sort of reinforce something that Jan said, and I think it's been sort of the centerpiece for a lot of us that have local transit systems, and that is that during the planning phase, we certainly do have to coordinate what the regional service does with local service. I mean, that's been our... I think our principal goal from a planning perspective from day one. But if we look at what's happening right now and some of the information that we got earlier, you know, for the first time in a long time since I've been sitting on this board, this transportation system is finally, there's finally a breath of vitality. And that's something that we've been striving for forever. And to that end, I think we have to go back to the days when things were not so good, and we have to look at our market in terms of people, because that's really what we're all about. And for a person in Los Osos to get on a bus with the assurance that they're going to get to their job in the center of town is far better than telling that same person that their route is going to get longer, they're going to have to get off of a bus and change a bus, which increases the chance of them not making it in a timely manner. I think that does exactly the opposite of what we're trying to do here. And the other thing that, you know, and I understand the whole efficiency effectiveness thing. Sometimes the two words don't really have the same meaning. I really believe that we need to get away from this notion that redundancy is bad. In a transportation system where you have two distinct markets and there's a portion of both markets that sort of overlap, there's nothing wrong with a redundancy. I would rather have a redundant system than one that doesn't have enough coverage. So to the extent that we can make it happen and we can coordinate it, and yes, continue to do better planning and with the regional service and local services, sure. But I'm not that turned off by the fact that we might have a bit of overlap. I would rather have it that way than the other way, not enough. So I'm very comfortable with what you're proposing it.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not to repeat everything being said, the location itself, Los Osos Valley Road, Foothill, is not a walking distance from anything nearby unless you leave someplace nearby. It's very unsafe to walk. We don't have sidewalks. So the location itself is a big concern. Again, everything else being said, but that's a prime reason for me to look into it, study it, but not to a point that it's a must that we need to consider it at this point. It just, if they somebody misses the connection, it's a quite a distance unless they want to hitchhike. But as I said, waiting there unless we have a real comfort zone where somebody can feel safe being alone, and depends on the time of the day, it's not short distance where you can go to safety and or be able to call somebody. It's I know cell phones, everybody has it, but location itself is a real concern.
Now, I agree with these concerns about that location. I don't think that that specific thing is even before us right now, about where there would be a transfer. I'm concerned that there's not greater coordination. The next item, other efficiencies, we will work with our partners on convenient, seamless provision of service to ensure that connectivity at major transfer locations, especially with slow transit, is at the forefront of our planning and scheduling efforts and processes. I want to see us move forward, and it's been at least a year that I've been saying this. I want to see us move forward in terms of coordination between these two agencies so that what we've got is a team effort, and that's what I'm not seeing here, and that's what disturbs me. So I would like to have this board direct our staff, as I will as a council member if I get the chance, direct city staff to work together and work it out, and I think we can. I don't want to see, I certainly want to see the bus riders, receive the best possible service. I agree with that. But I don't want a situation where the well-being of the RTA service and the well-being of the slow transit are in some way in conflict. I don't think they need to be. I don't think that's a necessity. I think we need to plan better and cooperate better with each other.
Okay, I agree with that. Let me add one thing to the mix, and I think we're ready for a motion here. The supervisors, at least, of this board received an email from one of the teachers at Pioneer Valley High School down in Santa Maria asking for some manner of connectivity of the Route 10 to all the way to Pioneer Valley, indicating that he's ready to broker a package of riders there, and wonder if we could get that into the mix for consideration.
Sorry, I just wanted to add one comment in response to both Ms. Marks and Mr. Scholes. Morro Bay certainly has been working, as you know, to get a more efficient route. However, in the time we had before we had to implement it, there was not time to work something out that was going to cover the service in North Morro Bay. It was going to cover up to the high school, but it was going to leave the people beyond that out of the loop, literally. And so that was our problem. So we had to move right then. We are still perfectly happy with working things out, and there's where I agree with Ms. Marsh. We need to keep working together and keep that communication open as to what each community relies on, and that's what we need to be able to provide. Whether it's a duplication or not, we need to be able to get that service to them.
Okay. Mr. Meacham and then Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I understand correctly, I mean, the recommendation here is to hold the public outreach and basically bring back the final recommendations in May.
Exactly.
So I would assume that there's ample opportunity to go through those discussions to work this out. I don't know what we're trying to change.
So is that a motion?
Yeah, and I would add, if that's okay, Supervisor Meacham, so that we're feeling like we're in a cooperative mode with our city and our city transit, that we would direct, I think, as Mr. King heard, RTA to work with our other transit partners as best as possible.
Okay.
I'll second.
We'll take that as Mr. Meacham's motion, Mr. Scholl's second. Seeing no further discussion, a roll call, please.
Yes.
Good.
Board Member Meacham.
Yes.
Board Member Scholl.
Yes.
Vice President Gibson.
Yes.
Board Member Sajian?
Aye.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Board Member Mark?
Yes.
Board Member Peters?
Yes.
Board Member Strong?
Yes.
Board Member Reese?
Yes.
Board Member Ferrara?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll move on to item B2 on the Paso Robles to Fort Hunter Liggett service.
Thank you, Vice President Gibson, members of the board. I'll be very brief in my comments. This is an exciting new kind of business model for us, and it's a partnership with our neighbors to the north, Monterey Salinas Transit. So basically, we will be a subcontractor to them. They've been very successful in this operation of this type of service over the last couple of years. So I'll get right to the staff recommendation. It's to authorize the executive director to enter into an MOU with Monterey Salinas Transit for the provision of fixed route service to Fort Hunter Liggett. And we do believe there's a good market on the north end of the county, and this will operate as an open door. It's not exclusive to the base, so it does provide a very convenient connection for folks that want to get from San Luis Obispo County to Monterey. It's also going to be 100% funded by the U.S. government. So it's a win-win for us, and that concludes my report.
So that would include those wanting to go deer hunting at Camp Roberts? So you can, we have lots of luggage racks.
Absolutely. We have a luggage rack on each of the buses.
Let me come down the dais from my right, Mr. Meacham. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ed, I think this is a great opportunity, and I know you're in discussion with Camp Roberts as well to look at the possibilities for increased ridership there. What exactly will the route be from Paso Robles to Hunter Liggett?
Well, it'll be the Route 9 will operate through San Miguel and then back out to the 101 and up to the, I'm looking at Jason. I'm sorry?
Pilgrim
Road. Pilgrim Road.
And then over to the base. So I believe there's one or two bus stops before you get to the base. There'll be a bus stop at the gate so that that folks that are not DOD can alight our service and board the Monterey service and vice versa, and then service into the base at there's a bus stop right in front of the.
There's two areas that I would hope that we do some outreach to, and that is Heritage Ranch and Oak Shores. There's a considerable amount of military folks that rent and live out in that particular area, and I think that would benefit them if they knew that there was a route. I'm sure that they'll make that announcement out there at the base, but if we could do a little bit of notification as well, that'd be helpful.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming down the dais, Mr. Strong.
Yes, and along that route, obviously, once we get there, we have to return. So there is a return route. And we have a couple of poverty pockets up in Monterey County, in Holon and in Bradley. And I would hope that as we route this out, that we consider those opportunities for those people so that they can conveniently get to their shopping opportunities and other services that they may need in a metropolitan area of type. Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, we'll open to the public. Mr. Greening?
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I think I just heard something that may have changed my understanding a bit. It was mentioned that this would be a Route 9 that would simply extend, and my understanding is that it was a separate service. I guess the question then is, if some of our buses are spending extensive time in Monterey County, do we have enough vehicles in our fleet to compensate for that? Would this be then part of the service with the existing drivers? Do we need additional drivers? Do we have an MOU that compensates us for that, since we're sort of at second order working through Monterey Salinas Transit? I do agree, though, that to the extent that the bus is going, and I had thought it would be a smaller vehicle, not a Route 9 vehicle continuing, there are some real advantages to serving the intervening communities. Presently, there is service from San Miguel to the rest of the county, where you can leave in the morning and come back in the evening or midday, but there is no equivalent. There's no way to go up to San Miguel for the day in any meaningful way, or even for part of the day, and it sounds as if this would open that opportunity. I agree also that even though they're not in our county, Bradley, Lockwood Valley, and Holon are extremely isolated rural communities, and I actually know someone who lives in Bradley and basically has no access to anywhere as a non-driver and is leading a very frustrated life trying to find work. So I know there are people along that route to the extent that stops can be provided, but could we have some clarification of what bus belonging to what agency would be performing this service? Would it be driven by our drivers? Would it be driven by MST drivers? Would it be people under our contract with drivers or someone else's contract? There are some questions, I guess, that are still out there, but mostly I'm concerned if Route 9 buses are extending that far and they get late, or we run out of buses for the Route 9 service, what impacts will it have on the existing Route 9 service? So I just hope for some clarity. I had thought it would be smaller and different buses. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. No other requests to speak. We'll close it to the public. Bring it back for a response on that and any other questions you might have.
It is RTA service. It's not an extension of the Route 9. It'll be a separate route, and it is with RTA equipment and RTA bus operators, so it will not require additional hiring of any more bus operators.
Very good.
That's a recommendation.
Thank you.
Second.
Mr. Shajan and Mr. Hill, seeing no further discussion, we'll take another roll call vote, please.
Board Member Shajan?
Aye.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Vice President?
Yes.
Board Member Marks?
Yes.
Board Member Meacham?
Yes.
Board Member Peters?
Yes.
Board Member Reese?
Yes.
Board Member Strong?
Yes.
Board Member Ferrara?
Yes.
Board Member Schultz?
Yes. Thank you. Brings us then to our consent agenda. I do have one request to speak on item C4, Mr. Webster. And he yields the floor with no other request to speak. Seeing none, any items that board members would like to pull for separate discussion or comment?
Move approval.
We'll take Mr. Ferrara's motion and Mr. Meacham's second. Seeing no further discussion, one more roll call vote, please.
Board Member Ferrara?
Yes.
Board Member Meacham?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Board Member Sajian?
Aye.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Board Member Marks?
Yes.
Board Member Peters?
Yes.
Board Member Reese?
Yes.
Board Member Strong?
Yes.
Board Member Schultz?
Yes. Thank you. At this point, we are going to adjourn to closed session, and we'll ask for microphones muted and room cleared.
On the status of our situation in Morro Bay with MD. We are looking, it has gone back to our Public Works Advisory Board. It's on our agenda for next Monday. I didn't have the packet yet, so I didn't know what the recommendation was going to be. But we're recommending a 3-year contract with the caveat that we understand that this regional idea is still going forward. We're still looking for regional efficiency, and if something were to come up within the term of that contract, it is something that can be terminated or adjusted to accommodate that.
Okay.
So that's where we stand. We had to move forward, but we move forward with the possibility for something else coming up in the meantime.
Okay. Thank you. Any other board member comments? Seeing none, we're adjourned. Thanks.